I want to turn this evening for my text to the last verse of chapter 2 of John chapter 2. The second chapter of the Gospel of St. John, and the last verse, although we could read from verse 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. That phrase especially, he knew what was in man. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this: God became man to produce not better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. Not to better the old man or the old kind of man, but to produce a new kind of man. And the last 40 years has been geared towards that goal of saving sinners and making them new creatures in Jesus Christ. What Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, to reclaim a ruined sinner who is sick with sin and create a new man, you need a great physician. And that physician is Jesus Christ. So we're going to the surgery tonight to look at the great physician, to look at a patient who came and the cure he heard from the lips of the Savior. His whole intention was to bring this man called Nicodemus to be a new creature in Jesus Christ. Now, there have been many advances medically in our generation, and one of the important ones is the scan. You often hear people now saying, I'm going for a scan. It was the old X-ray that still exists, but the scan has taken priority. It's a device that looks into the inner organs of a man, what you can't see visibly from the naked eye. This device, this machine, whatever it is, can look into the depths of a body and discover what is wrong or what is right. The scan is an important device in medical world today. Now, the first thing I want to say about Jesus Christ is the great physician is the scanner of hearts. He scans the human heart. Now, this is not new in the New Testament. When we look at the great psalm that David wrote in 139, he says this. He talked of the scan. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. He's looked in the deepest recesses of his heart and his mind and his motives, and he knows him. He knows what is in man. Thou knowest my down sitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off before we think them. Thou art acquainted with all my ways, not outwardly, but in mind as well. Art acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. No. He knows what is in man. You can find out today by scans what the sex of a child is. That's nothing new to God. For thou hast possessed my reins. He's talking about him being in the womb of his mother. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now listen to this. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. His parents didn't know what he was like. We didn't know what he was like, but God knew. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. He's the great scanner of the human heart. He can sift. He can examine. He can judge every thought, every purpose, every motive. Nothing is hid from him. There is no creature, as Hebrews 4, that is not manifest, clear, in his sight. But all things are naked, opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You go back to chapter 1 of John, you find there Philip finding Nathanael. We have found him, they said, whom Moses in the law and in the prophet did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Now Nathanael is rather sarcastic. Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see, says Philip. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. And he says this, behold an Israelite, in whom there is no guile. He had scanned him immediately. Look at Nathanael's answer. How did you know me? Go to chapter 4. We find a woman in Samaria. And she's a loose living woman. Lord Jesus Christ hasn't seen her before. Verse 15 of chapter 4 we read, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come thither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Thou wast well said, I have no husband. For thou had five husbands. Here's the scan. The one you have now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the illustration of the scan working on the day of judgment. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The fact that God can scan all of us, motive, thoughts, works, everything that we can't see. We can fool men, we can't fool God. It was that amid Alexander White caught Bishop Andrews. And in the private papers of Bishop Andrews after his death, he was making a reference to the judgment. And this is what he says. How fearful will thy judgments be, O Lord, when the thrones are set and the angels stand around and men are brought in and the books are opened and all our works are inquired into and all our thoughts are examined and the hidden things of darkness. And his prayer was this, Lord, as thou art loving, give me tears, give me floods of tears, and give me all this day before it is too late. My friends, on the day of judgment, there will be many people standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And they'll be standing there with no one to plead for them. No one to snatch them out. We can't fool God. And the first thing that Nicodemus is going to hear, that this man he has heard so much about and heard about, is the one who will scan his very being and to lead him to the path of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a sobering thought. He was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracle. Now notice this. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. He knew all men. Why didn't Jesus Christ trust himself to them? The scan. He probed them. You see, the profession of faith doesn't mean we possess faith. He knew they were not believers. Jesus Christ doesn't need to hear a profession to know whether a man is truly saved or not. He doesn't have to. He's the scanner of hearts. We can't fool him. And these didn't fool him. That's the great physician. Let's turn now to the patient who came by night. There was a man, chapter 3, verse 1, of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. There was a man. It's a kind of a sample of this truth that Jesus Christ knows everything. There was a man, not a new man, there was a man named Nicodemus. Now when Nicodemus came into the surgery that night, he thought he had a clean bill of health. He looked well on the outside. In the eyes of men, respectable, a teacher of the law, member of the Sanhedrin, looked up to him. But Jesus Christ knew him. Were there lingering doubts? That's why he came. Was there unease in his heart? Now, what was the physician's examination? Nicodemus just said one sentence. Rabbi, we know. He's talking to a man who knows about him. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. That was enough for Jesus Christ to put his finger on his problem. He knew what the Pharisees were like. They rejoiced in outward religion. And the answer Jesus Christ gives proves beyond doubt that this man was spiritually dead. He was religiously alive, but he was spiritually dead. Hence the answer. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus was dead spiritually. He didn't have a new heart. Now, Nicodemus didn't ask a question. But we read in the report of John that Jesus answered him. He answered him. He didn't ask a question. What happened then? Well, Jesus Christ scanned his heart and saw the question deep down in his heart, a question like the one in Matthew 19 of the rich young man who came to Jesus Christ and asked him, what good thing must I do, Master, to have eternal life? He diagnosed him and he found out and he knew this man was resting on something that was not spiritual. Nicodemus was trying to be a better man of the old kind, as C.S. Lewis says, by outward conformity to the law. Now, what was the result of the revelation of Jesus Christ? He knew this man had just a shell of religion, just the outward. What was the result of the scan? Well, simply, I can put it this way, Nicodemus was an addict. He was an addict to salvation by good works. He was addicted to it. As the Pharisees were, as the Jews were. As long as we do this and that, we shall be in the kingdom of God. He was an addict. The Lord saith, says Samuel, nor as a man saith. For a man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. You see, God estimates works as they proceed from the fountain of the heart. If the heart is polluted, the action, the work is polluted. Many, many times the Lord Jesus Christ crossed swords with these Pharisees. You may clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within, they are full of extortion, that is, prey and plunder, excess, grasping, self-indulgence. That's what they were. You outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy, pretense, and iniquity. Nicodemus was an addict to salvation by works. My friends, I was as well. I thought good works would bring me to heaven as a boy. I was taught that. I wasn't brought up in an evangelical church. I was an addict to thinking, as long as I did my best would outweigh my evil, my sin. You see, there is no cure for sin in the pharmacy of the law. There are no pills to be had from the law to heal our sickness. It's not there. Nicodemus heard from the lips of the divine scanner that he had to be born again. So we come to the cure. What's the cure? So amazing, isn't it? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see it. What's the cure? See, this physician is both physician and cure. The cure is the person, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, except for the fact that I was born naturally, I would never have become a man. And except a sinner is born again, he can't become a new man. It's impossible. You've got to be born to become a new man in Christ. And when you compare natural birth with spiritual birth, it's a very interesting comparison. You see, when you and I were born, naturally, we contributed nothing to it. Nothing at all. Secondly, our existence depended entirely upon the actions of mother and father. They came together. And thirdly, life is a gift. And those three things are true of spiritual regeneration, spiritual rebirth, born again. See, when you are born again, you contribute nothing to it, absolutely nothing. It depends on the action of somebody else, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's all there. They are responsible for giving us new life. And it's a gift. Nothing to do with works. Nothing. It's what He does in our hearts. You see, a man can't be created anew without a new birth. A child, a natural child, must be born before it can see his father's face. And a man must be born again before he can see his heavenly father's face. And that's what sonship does. You come to know God as your father. And you are his child. But you've got to be born again to see him as father, not as judge. A new man can't be created without a new birth. And secondly, a new man isn't possible without an atoning death. Impossible. You see, the Holy Spirit was sent to the world, into the church, as a direct consequence of the victory of Christ over sin on Calvary and rising from the dead. Every blessing flows from Calvary, from atoning death. You see, it's life based on death. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's death. My friends, it wasn't a trivial matter for God to save the world. I love that hymn that says he left his Father's throne above. He was in resplendent glory of majesty. Everybody praising him, the creator, the sustainer of life, the mover of all movements on earth, of creation. But he left his Father's home above. Was it a compulsion? No, so free. So free. So infinite his grace. Emptied himself, Philippians 2, isn't it? Emptied himself of all but love. And bled for Adam's helpless race. Paul puts it this way, you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. See, what Nicodemus didn't know in his addiction, to possess a God-pleasing righteousness, the standard he'd have to reach would be a righteousness that is only found in Jesus Christ. That's what he ultimately would find out. See, if you want to look at the perfect new man, you have to look at Jesus Christ. Do you know, one day we'll be like him. One day. We won't have any flaws. No sins. No corruption. Nothing. He was the only one who came to this earth, and he was sinless. Absolutely sinless. Not one thought ever without being thought in a pure motive. Not one word, not one action. None of them were defiled by corruption. Always honored his heavenly Father. Always honored his earthly father and his earthly mother. What a life. He never coveted. He never lusted. Never gossiped. Never slandered, never lied, never stole. He loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his powers. And his neighbor as himself. And he did that as our representative. He was our rep. His perfect obedience was put to my account. My sin was taken. And I was clothed in his righteousness. This Nicodemus didn't know. He couldn't patch up the old man. Impossible. We made anew. Then there was the cross. When he paid my debt. He took the curse of the law. Oh, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. The debt was paid. And see, Nicodemus was the first one to hear John 3:16. Thousands have heard it since. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The first to hear it. And he heard it from the mouth of the Lamb himself. The Lamb who would die on Calvary. Nicodemus knew well the story of the brazen serpent in the wilderness. The people are disobedient. They murmur against Moses. They want water. They want bread. These serpents were sent poisoned one day. Many died. They cried to Moses, to cry to God, will you help us, save us from more deaths? God told him, make this serpent, put it on a pole, and if they look at him, this pole, and look, and just look, they will be saved. They will not die. He was the first to hear it, expressed in the context of Calvary. I want to quote a Welsh little line here. Williams Pantycelyn talks of Jesus Christ dying on Calvary. I'll translate it in a moment. I'll give you this in Welsh first. Yn signo i mas y gwenwyn a'r oes y sarff i ni. Ac wrth y gwenwyn hwnnw yn marw ar Calvary. The paraphrase is this. On Calvary, sucking out the poison the serpent gave to me, and by that very poison, dying on Calvary. That's what the Lord says to him here. So the Lord says to him here. My friends, we have to look and live. We visited Colchester. Not far from where Howell lives, we went to the church where Spurgeon was converted. Still a living and a lively fellowship there. We saw the place where he stood, under the gallery. And that very well. Ordinary elder was preaching, and he could only go about 10 minutes. He was dried up. But he said this, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye the ends of the earth. And he pointed to Spurgeon and he told him, my young man, you look miserable. And you'll always be miserable unless you obey my text. Look and live. Spurgeon says, I looked, I couldn't have looked my eyes away. And he was converted. There is life for a look at the crucified one. Many of us tonight can say, oh, what a day that was. When I looked, nothing to give you, Lord. But you've done all for me. You've died for me. You've paid the debt. Cleared the books. Jesus Christ is the great physician. He's the divine scanner of hearts. Jesus Christ scanned Nicodemus, and Nicodemus left the surgery still an addict. But he'd heard the diagnosis. He'd met the Savior. And he heard of the cure. I don't know whether that was the last time Nicodemus saw or talked to Jesus Christ. I don't know. But in John 19:35, know who's there with Joseph? Touching this body of the Lord Jesus Christ and taking him to the tomb, putting the linen around him and putting him there, it was Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus came off drugs. He believed. He trusted. He knew the Savior. He'd looked. And he'd lived. And my friends, I don't know if anybody is here tonight who's trying to patch up the old man. You can't do it. If you are trying, you'll have to reach the standard that Jesus Christ reached. The glory of the gospel is this, that he gives us his righteousness. And we are clothed in it. This doctor is on call tonight here in Bethel. He's on call. You can call upon him. There's a promise. He that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call. Look. Look and live. May God add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we bless you, Lord, for this amazing truth. It's a fearful truth, O Lord, if you don't know thee, that you know and scan the very depths of our hearts. But Lord, your Spirit has enlightened us. And we who are dead in trespasses and sins, you have quickened us to new life in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have been born again of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, it rests entirely on the foundation of the atonement on the cross of Calvary. And we praise you, Father, for your goodness to this church over the years. And many, many have been born anew, not patching up the old, but new creations in Jesus Christ. Bless us then, O Lord, and speak to us this evening. And have mercy upon our souls, for Jesus' sake. Amen.